From the Mills Fleet Farm Studios, three signals, one mission. WGDX Lakeville, WRXP Cambridge, WGVZ Eden Prairie. It's always sports talk on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. 105theticket.com, a Cumulus station. We're live.
Live!
From the Twin Cities with the Bob Sansevier Show. Great guests, interviews, and over 30 years of sports insight.
I'm pretty good at my job.
Here's the host of the show, Bob Sansevier.
That's different, but, you know, the coaches and the vets are doing a great job, you know, acclimating me and the other rookies to, you know, this new experience. You know, a couple guys, they played in the Big Ten as well, so being able to go against them again is, you know, it's always fun. And then just playing with a lot of the vets that you looked up to in the NFL is a great experience. My biggest thing right now is just trying to learn the system and understand it to the point where I'm really comfortable. And then, you know, once I'm comfortable, I know I can play, you know, fast without really thinking about everything.
And now you've been here in Minnesota for a few weeks now. What do you think?
I like it. You know, it's, you know, I kind of went around the lake, you know, being from Wisconsin and to Michigan and Minnesota. So, you know, it's not too different, but, you know, I like it. It's, you know, it's nice out here and I've had a great experience so far.
That would be Trey Wayne. Seems like a very likable young man. And he'd be more likable if he can cover those receivers from the NFC North, from Green Bay, Detroit, Chicago. You know, by the way, it's a lot of people are on the road already, leaving work early. The long holiday weekend, drive safe, be good. Take a moment to remember what today really, or this weekend really is all about, Memorial Day. Do you know, by the way, what it was known as before it was called Memorial Day? What the name was? Going back to the Civil War now, that's when it started.
I think I know this, but I...
Decoration Day.
Yeah.
And the South didn't recognize it. It's only been since I think Lyndon Johnson is the one who basically signed it into law.
Lyndon Baines.
Lyndon B. Johnson. Baines Johnson. But just urge every people to be careful. Have a great, you know, three. We'll wrap it up. It's not like we're wrapping up now with that, but have a great weekend. As a matter of fact, if you, I'm curious now, do you have any big plans for the weekend, the long holiday weekend?
Well, I've got a couple of days off. I think I'm going to go play volleyball.
Which you haven't had forever.
Yeah.
Back-to-back days.
I think I've worked about 198 consecutive days or something like that.
Well, good for you. Boy, that you must have quite... You could open a bank and lend people money. Be like, you need a couple of big strong-arm guys to collect for you, to do collections, but you could have your own little bank. Be the guy people go to.
I know a couple of guys like that probably could help me out.
Yeah, well, then do it. You could do a couple of ankle, knee, or some kind of a joint breaker. But 651-989-9105, 651-989-9105. I'm curious because I actually don't have many plans at all this weekend. Just want to kick back and enjoy it and hang out with the family. But if you have any big plans, if you're, you know, if you're going to, obviously, if you're going to be playing softball, volleyball like you, being the athlete you are, and you're with your vertical, I'm sure you'll spike plenty of ball over the net.
Yes, or into the net. That's why
or into the
it's
net.
One of my favorite spots
of doing that. I used to love playing volleyball at the beach because I grew up in New Jersey on the beach. It was a great way to grow up, playing in the sand on you know, on the beach of Bradley Beach, which is where I live. People would have heard of Asbury Park and Belmar. It was in that stretch in Monmouth County. Now, I know it's a, you know, we're going to, by the way, we are going to have a great day, a fun day. Our guest today, Hardwood Robb, will join us soon, talk about the Timberwolves and their first pick. Mike Vec, owner of the Saints, will join us. Mike Gelfand will join us. He's with us on Mondays and Fridays. Psychic Ruth Lorden with us, Jim Suhan. And this time we're going to try to keep the phones working for him. Dave St. Peter, the Twins president, will be joining us again today. His team's six games over 500. It's a good time to be a Twin and in Twins management because they've had a long... The dark ages have been there long enough for them.
So the job is much easier when success is involved.
Now, what you would... Because I know you're into this whole these fantasy movie things. And what would be a good comparison of what it's like to have, like, the cloud or the shroud lift from a land? The one that I came up with was that Maleficent, where the forest she lived in was just all, you know, gloomy and dreary, and now suddenly things have sprouted. Things are growing again for the Twins. What's a good movie where it was like years of darkness and blight, and now it's coming back and the sun's coming out and everything's growing? Would it be like one of the Middle Earth movies? You know,
yeah.
Lord of the Rings? Would that be it?
Yeah, sure. Once the ring was thrown into the fires.
Yeah, but things didn't get pretty around there. Things stayed pretty elsewhere. Or did everything... I don't remember everything, you know, suddenly getting bright around that part of...
Well, everybody was all of a sudden happy.
Even those gorgs or orcs or whatever they were. What were they called?
Oh, they all dropped dead.
Oh, I thought they were having a little dance, too. But that's what it's like if you're a twin player, manager, coach, front office guy. Well, like Dave St. Peter, I'm sure there's an extra bounce in his step that hadn't been there for quite some time. Now, what I want to do, you know, when I did the show with Mike and Ben, we had a rant or rave section. Well, you need to bring that back, but I'm going to start it off with a little rant today. There's an ex-agent. His name is Joel Corry, C-O-R-R-Y. He wrote about what would happen in the likelihood of three players looking for new contracts in the NFL. One of them, Adrian Peterson. Now, we've touched on it before, but why this is even being entertained by people and encouraged is beyond me. The guy's going to make $13 million this year. Excuse me, $12.75. He gets another $250 just for showing up for the OTAs and the mini camps and training camp. Why anyone would even think, why encourage this? By writing about it, just encourage and make them think they're actually going to get any money. There is no way he should get another penny. He wants guaranteed money. Essentially, if he plays at the level he's played, his money is going to be guaranteed. They're not going to dump him.
No.
And if he gets hurt, his money is guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
And we've learned if he does something wrong, his money is guaranteed because they'll pay him anyway. Or he'll take him to court and get paid. His money is basically guaranteed as it is. So I don't understand why they need to even talk about a renegotiation. Here's what he makes. He makes, and I'll add the extra $250 to round it up because we'll assume he'll show up for these things. This year, $13 million. 2016, he makes $15 million. This one may be tough. 2017, when he'll be 32, right? He's just turned 30, 31, 32. Mm-hmm. $18
million. Show me the money.
But he wants to make sure it's guaranteed. I'd say it's about as close to being guaranteed as anyone can ask for. That last year, maybe not. That's a lot of dough.
Well, even at that point,
but even, okay,
you've got to figure he's going to show up and play anyway.
But you know what? At that point, if he wants to do something then you tell him, you know what? Yeah, we'll guarantee your money. We'll give you 12 to
that's
guarantee
not,
it.
It's not a bad deal either.
This guy's made. I mean, he got paid for doing nothing this past year.
I'll take it.
You'll take it.
$12 million?
You probably got more than that anyway with 198 days in a row of work, right?
Yep.
You're a working fella.
Something like that.
There's nothing. Nobody works as hard as you do. But I don't encourage this by talking about it like I am now or writing about it or saying that he should get it or even raising the possibility that he should get it because it's just not right. Now, you know who Dan Jenkins is, right?
Who?
Dan Jenkins, golf writer.
Oh, I don't,
you've never
I don't
heard
read
of him?
A lot about golf.
All right.
I watch it.
Dan Jenkins is actually, he's a well-known writer. I mean, he's an author. He's a writer. He's covered golf for decades. He wrote, I'll give you just a couple of the books that he wrote. He wrote Semi-Tough. You ever hear that one?
No.
You're kidding.
Semi-Tough?
Yes. You never heard of, okay. You've heard of Sports Illustrated, right? He worked for them.
Yes.
Worked for Playboy. Right? You've heard of that, right?
I think so.
Oh, my God. And I'm trying to find another one that you may have heard of. Well, you never would have heard of The Eternal Summer. That was a golf book. Limo, you wouldn't have heard of that. The big one, actually, was Semi-Tough. But it was probably written before you were born. Anyway, I digress.
People knew how to write back then?
Dan Jenkins is a well-known writer. Yeah, okay. They knew how to write. He's a hell of a writer. Very clever, he does actually, when he goes to major events now, he really doesn't write stories, he tweets. And they're pithy. But what he has said, he actually wrote something. He's saying that, told the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, talking about Tiger Woods and his 14 majors. He's basically saying Tiger's never beat anyone in his majors. Incidentally, there's much more talent at the top. This is, again, Dan Jenkins talking. In the bottom than there was during Tiger's peak years. Tiger beat a lot of nobodies to win most of his majors. Yes, there was Phil Mickelson and Ernie Els around, in and out. But go back and look who was second to him in those majors and tell me where they are now. Now, here are, by the way, the guys that were runner-up to him. And I think that Dan Jenkins was taking a little liberty because, in order, Tom Kite, who's a hell of a golfer, right? He was toward the end of his PGA career before he just started making dough on the seniors tour, the champions tour. Sergio Garcia, you've heard of him, right?
Sergio.
Ernie Els, you'd know him. Brad Johnson's look-alike. They do look exactly like each other, or did. Miguel Angel Jimenez. He had a little bit of a run there. Ernie Els again. Thomas Bjorn, not a big one there. Bob May, nobody knows who he is. David Duvall was pretty good for a while. Retief Goosen, Mickelson, Chris DeMarco, Colin Montgomery, Chris DeMarco again, Shawn Michael, Woody Austin, and Rocco Mediate. Well, those last three, nothing special there, but it's not a horrible list. But then a guy was writing about this after he pointed out, let's say Rory McIlroy's runners-up at his four majors, Jason Day, David Lynn, Ricky Fowler, and Sergio Garcia, and Phil Mickelson. The list isn't really that much better. I mean, I'm not a huge Tiger defender, but he faced the competition that was there and beat him.
And Phil Mickelson was never a runner-up to Tiger?
Oh, yeah, he was. He was a runner-up. He finished second to him once.
One time. And that was when Phil was trying to figure out how to actually play well in majors.
Yes, and Phil, if it were not... See, a lot of people think if it were not for Tiger, Phil Mickelson would have been considered the greatest golfer of that era. Well, okay, he won. He was a runner-up once. So other people likely would have wound up winning it. The thing about Tiger, if you think back, and I believe it was every major... He always took the lead into the final round. So everyone was chasing him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he ever came back and won a major, including the PGA here. I think if he almost came back, but he didn't. I think that might have been one where he actually did mount a comeback. I don't recall in 651-989-9105, if that's not right. I don't know that he ever came back on Sunday to win a major. He always was in the final group. And with the lead.
He never had to.
He held the lead.
Because he would have the standard okay Thursday. He'd make a little bit of a jump on Friday.
Saturday
was
he owned Saturday.
Big day.
Yep.
So he could just coast on Sunday. That's how he won almost every single major.
And he, there's no denying the guy. I mean, he had a great run when he did. And, you know, some people think maybe he can get it. I just think the competition is too tough. And I think his body, the torque he put on his body, it's too much for the human body to withstand, even a superstar like him. And this, we're going to have, I want to talk to Mike Vec about this. The Tampa Bay Rays, they have an affiliate, the Charlotte Stone Crabs. I'm trying to think if Mike has some sort of affiliation with them. He might. The Stone Crabs? It's a great name. But they are going to have a promotion Friday night. I think it might be tonight that they're doing it. Here's the promotion. A-Rod Juice Box Night. First 500 fans... get a juice box, and here's what it says on the side of it. The sports drink, 100% juiced. Side effects include tainted records, inflated ego, omission from the Hall of Fame, and more. It's actually pretty fun. I want to ask Mike why he didn't come up with that for the Saints for this weekend. Why somebody else has that one.
Yeah, it's a good one.
And he's had some great promotions, though, over the years. Mike, well, Tom Whaley's been involved in, too, the Saints executive VP who's been on with us, comes on with us every Monday, joined us yesterday. That's pretty good. I love some of these minor league teams and the stuff that they do.
Well, now you've got the Will Smith being suspended 8 games from the Brewers for having the sunscreen and rosin on his arm. You give out little...
sunscreen!
Little things of sunscreen. Like put it on there, work it into the ball, and throw it somewhere.
I'll tell you what. That was pretty ingenious. You know what I mean? That's not a bad thing, what he had come up with. That's not a bad way to go.
Yeah, sunny out.
But there's so many ways and so many things you can do to hide some of the goop that you're going to use.
Not just big old splotch on the arm.
Yeah.
Nobody will notice.
Hey, I don't want to get, I don't want to get burned or peel. Or I'm watching out for, your sun. And it is a bad thing. You don't want, nobody wants skin cancer. That would be a bad, very, very bad thing. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Upon our return, we will be joined by Hardwood Rob. Talk a little NBA lottery, little Timberwolves. And Rob and our guy Marcus Fuller, they do a show every Saturday morning. You produce that one?
No.
All right. You do everybody else's, though, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
But anyway, Rob will be with us, and we'll talk to him about the lottery and the Wolves when we get back.
One and done. A special off-season two-hour show, Saturday morning at 9.
Who is Minnesota's best dunker, past or present?
It's hands down Rodney Williams.
Another name I was brought from the past is basically a dunk that Darius Lane did on Joe Prisbilla in 1998. I believe that dang near got him co-Mr. Basketball with Joe.
Darius Lane was a Hopkins guy?
No, he was at Tino Grace.
One and done. A special off-season two-hour show. Catch up on your hoops talk Saturday morning at 9. 105 The Ticket. Now back to the Bob Sansevier Show. Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
It almost seems like you put a little thought into this. It's not bad music for you. Joined by Hardwood Rob, he and Marcus Fuller, special edition of their... we're all just rocking out here.
Is this Shaft? He's a bad mother. Watch your mouth.
Is that who it is?
It should be.
Who is it?
Definitely.
Kiss.
I don't know. What do I know?
That's not Kiss, really?
Yeah.
All right.
It's kind of a shocker, right?
It's one of those where they were like, you know what, Gene, you can just sit this one out.
Yeah. He was busy anyway.
How long did it take them to put the makeup on? Did they do it themselves or did they have like a makeup artist?
I would imagine as they, you know, they got developed, they grew into their success and things. They probably had makeup artists.
You'd have
right?
to, yeah.
You don't apply all that paint on your own.
No, and I wonder if any of them have any issues with their pores. Anyway, Hardwood Rob joins us. Now, it's an easy one. Towns or Okafor? Okafor or Towns? I know tomorrow you and Marcus Fuller, and give the full details, and you're going to be on for, what do you have, a seven-hour extravaganza?
Yeah, right. And yep, you're right. Marcus, Marcus Fuller, and Ryan James. Can't forget Ryan, of course.
Sorry.
Ryan James from North Star Hoops, Hoops Report. And I will be on from 9 to 11 tomorrow morning on The Ticket. And yeah, we're definitely going to, at least for a couple of minutes, chat about this whole number one pick in the draft.
Well, here's the big thing now. I'm just looking. It came out an hour ago in Yahoo Sports. I wanted to look at a few mock drafts. They've got theirs out. The Anthony's gone. Now he's Carl Towns.
I like that.
Just Carl Towns.
It's more adult.
Carl Towns.
It's a little more intimidating. It's more menacing when you have just two names.
Carl Towns.
It's like the why did John Mellencamp ever have the Cougar? Like, that was so lame.
But you Cougar's not a bad one. How about Carl Cougar Towns? That's not bad either. Maybe you can borrow that.
That would kind of, you know, with the cat thing, the Carl Anthony, he could be Carl Anthony Cougar Towns. And then...
I like it. Now here, I know that everybody loves Towns, but I think Flip wants Okafor. I think
that's what I'm hearing, too.
I think he's just fascinated by him.
That's what I'm hearing, too.
And I have no problem with that, because I think Okafor, he is a hell of a player. Okay, he's a lousy free-throw shooter, but he is going to give you... And, you know, they talk about, you know, Towns is off, our defense is so much better. I know that Flip feels he can coach him up, or somebody can, to make him a better defender. And if they keep around KG, he'll certainly be... And he will keep him around and pay him more than they should. He'll definitely help them with getting Okafor ready for the pro game.
Yeah, I think I think a lot of his development is just going to come in maturing, and his body will mature, and he's going to start becoming a professional athlete and have a professional athlete's body. So he's going to lose some of that baby fat. I'm not as worried about Okafor's development. I think either one of these guys are can't-miss guys. But I think you're right. I think maybe there is, like, Flip is a bit enamored with Okafor. And I am, too. I think he's great. I mean, all year long, I've been saying Okafor's the guy. And it's only recently that I've kind of, like, doubled back and started thinking Towns.
I'm glad you mentioned that. And here's why what I don't understand. That over a few games in the tournament, toward the end of getting to the Final Four, and it by no means did it plummet, because he's going to be first or second. But a little bit... people no longer are as enamored with Okafor as they are with Towns. So his stock has slid in some people's minds a little bit, while Towns has certainly leaped up. But, well, I asked this two-part thing. The other one is, I don't understand how Tyus Jones could have the Final Four he had and him not soar up the charts.
Mm.
But I'll ask you about that in a minute. Let me go back to this part, though. Why... why would Okafor drop? Because, and this goes before, or was it during the Final Four or the tournament when we talked to Jerry Sagota from the Star Tribune? It was certainly long before they had played the championship game.
I want to say it was probably right around the start of the tournament.
I think so too. But he said, and I go back to this, he said that Flip, I think when talking about Okafor, said, no, it had to be in the tournament maybe, because maybe he did have a few games that weren't terrific. Flip said that, you know, he looks at the body of work. Well, if you look at the body of work at Okafor, it's hard to find a lot of flaws in his body of work as a freshman.
Yeah, I mean, he had a phenomenal year. But, you know, like you said, you play in the tournament and you become a little more scrutinized. You're under the microscope. And I think people start looking for the flaws more. I mean, we have to keep in mind, too, that the draft is all about prospects. Nobody's drafting a sure thing.
No.
You know, all of these guys are going to have tons and tons of growth and development. I mean, we saw the growth just for Andrew Wiggins between game one and game 82. I mean, he was nearly an entirely different player. And that's the draft. That's part of it. So is you really have to try to slice out, okay, what are the strengths? What are the weaknesses? And are they aspects that can, with regard to the weaknesses, can they be changed? Can those things be corrected? And I think that more and more folks are looking at, you know, the challenges with Okafor and thinking, well, those challenges don't necessarily match up, or they don't provide as much room for growth as what Carl Towns, you know, his strengths, those areas where he's clearly got some tremendous upside. You know what I mean? Where he's got, wow, this kid could be the next whatever. I mean, he can shoot the ball. He's got the athletic skill, the body, so on and so forth. So I think maybe just people are starting to focus a little bit more on his upside and the weaknesses with Okafor. I mean, his weaknesses they're glaring, really. I mean, he's physically just a little slow on defense. He seems a little slow to react on defense, but I, like you, I still like Okafor. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think the kid is, the problem is I still pine for the old days when it was a back to the basket game and you threw the ball into the post, you played inside out, and that's really, 5-10 years ago, it would have been a no-brainer. Okafor
is, I think that's why Flip wants him. Because he wants a guy like that.
But that doesn't make any sense with what they're doing. I mean, with what they've got there, if they do pick Okafor, if they decide to pass on Towns and they pick Okafor, I think that's basically saying, you know, all right, Pecker, you're done. You know what I mean?
I don't think there's any doubt there.
But if you draft Towns, I think you could actually play he and Peck together.
And who do you put Peck at center and you make Towns your KG?
Yeah. Can you imagine a guy like Towns, or Okafor for that matter, learning the game from KG? Because that's what they're going to ask of Towns ultimately, I mean, is to spread the floor and to spread things out. So it's, you know, it's, I think it's a boon to them with what they have existing on the roster already if they go with Towns.
How about even playing Gorgie and Towns at the same time down protecting the rim, those two together with the length? What kind of shots can come in there?
Yeah. Here's the thing with Gorgie. I'm not high on Gorgie. I think Gorgie's time is probably already done.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you know, they like how he practices and they like what he does and the things. But I'm not high on Gorgie. I think Gorgie is maybe a bench guy on a competitive team. Maybe a bench guy. Gives you 10-12 minutes a night. But he doesn't have...
Well, ideally, that's what he'll be on this team.
I don't know. We do have to keep in mind that KG's probably done. And hell, is Flip done? When's Flip done coaching?
He's not going to be... He wants to coach this team.
Well...
Because whether it's Towns or Okafor, and I do believe he will take Okafor, I'm sure he wants to go another year and see what he can do with this group.
Yeah, and improve his record a little bit.
Yeah.
Get a few wins
on the
board.
Bump it up a little.
Yeah, another playoff appearance.
Now, let's go with this scenario. He gets Okafor.
Mm-hmm.
And if indeed, let me ask you if a team would go for this. If you have in the late teens to early 20s, and when I say late teens, what you're going to be looking at in there, and that's where it appears, all right, right now, this guy's draft.
18.
He's got Tyus Jones going to Houston from the Pelicans, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I've seen him go anywhere from like 18 to the like 21 or 22. If you're one of those teams, you have to have the right team, obviously, but you got the 31st and the 36th. If you package those with Peck and you need a center, you'd have to consider that, right, to move up to get Tyus Jones together again, even though I know Rubio's your guy, but with Rubio, it's always good to have a backup point guard.
Yeah, well, and I think LaVine, for as much as we want him to handle the ball, I want him off the ball. I think he's a two-guard, and that's what he needs
to
be.
He was forced into
being a two-guard. Yeah, so, you know, another point guard doesn't hurt. I don't think... You know, Lorenzo Brown has just solidified his spot on the roster for the duration of the, you know, the foreseeable future. So if they were able to pull in a Tyus Jones and he can play at home and continue to play with his homie Okafor, I think that would be great. I don't think there's any problem with that. Is it the best scenario for him? Probably not.
See, actually, the Rockets, they're playing a lot of, they're playing guys almost 40. A lot at the point, right?
Patrick Beverley, he's been injured.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah, Prigioni.
And he's a restricted free agent, although they'll probably keep him.
Yeah, I would imagine that. I mean, the Rockets have a good little thing going. I mean, they're in the Western Conference Finals. So, I would imagine that they're going to try to keep that roster together. But Tyus Jones, you know, it's kind of, he's going to have a challenging journey. It's going to be very interesting to see what situation.
Now, why do you say that? Because of his size, or because of his? You don't think he has the quickness to defend?
I think just to find the opportunity, because it is such a point guard driven league. So he's going to have to get somewhere where if he can't play right away, he can at least learn under a seasoned vet, somebody who can actually instruct him, who will kind of take him under the wing and show him how to run a floor, run an NBA floor, but. Yeah, I mean, his athleticism, I mean, I think Bleacher Report put out like a professional comparison for all of these, for all the guys in the lottery this year, and his was like a DJ Augustine. And I see that, you know, he's not, he was able to play with a star in college,
Yeah, but he won a championship without the stars, they were on the bench. I mean, he took over that game, that's the thing I think people need to look at. He also, every time I see a mock draft, he adds an inch, now he's 6'2". I mean, he used to be 5'11". Suddenly, he's 6'2".
I'm okay with that. You know,
maybe 6'2".
He can play. He can play.
Steph Curry, 6'3".
He can. Tyus can play. Tyus, it's not going to be for, I think, a lack of effort or anything. It ultimately will be just for physical limitations if for some reason he doesn't, hold down a spot on an NBA roster.
Well, I think it'll work out fine for him. Hardwood Rob, always great talking to you. And again, tomorrow from 9 to 11.
Tomorrow, 9 to 11. Me, Mark Fuller, and Ryan James here. One and Done is the program. You can follow us on Twitter. It's at One and Done 105. Spell out the One and Done.
But here it's actually Two and Done.
Well, yeah.
2 hours.
It's a one-off show.
All right. I got you.
You live with that?
I live with that. All right. Rob, thanks a lot. Hardwood Rob, thank you for that. We're going to, you know what? As the weeks go ahead, we'll be pestering you a lot because it's getting interesting now that they had that first pick and anything else they said. We know it's going to come down to one or the other. I think it'll be Okafor. And the other thing is, one quick aside, most of it is dopes like us who don't know, we're not actually scouting these guys. We're seeing them in the NCAA tournament and a few games on TV. Oh, it's got to be Towns. Oh, Okafor.
I got to wait until one
they
of these guys works out against a chair first, and then I can
then
really
you know.
Make the evaluation.
You're probably right about that. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Come right back. Mike Vec, Saints owner, coming up next.
Later today on Radioactive Sports with the superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson at 4.
Today we'll recap the circus that was the St. Paul Saints home opener yesterday. The Wild signed a 25-year-old forward and look ahead to 3 days away from work.
Come up with this one.
Louis Armstrong.
I know who it is.
Isn't it great?
All right, because the Saints come marching in. Which is appropriate considering who our guest is. Mike Vec, owner of the Saints. Mike, how much fun did you have last night?
When the Saints come marching. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead. That sounds pretty good.
I was channeling Lewis right there.
You did a hell of a job. That's pretty darn good, Mike, I'll tell you.
I grew up with a steady diet of that, but it was magical. It was absolutely, it was the most fun I've had since we opened Midway 22 years ago and then closed it. I mean, it was really fun.
It seemed like, first of all, you had incredible media coverage. Fans looked like they were having a great time. It's a special, you've been to a lot of them, and I know you've been affiliated and you've been involved with minor league teams. Around the country or places you've been, what compares to CHS Field? Anything?
No, not anything at all. Admittedly, my dad used to always tell me, never fall in love, and of course I did. Fall in love with St. Paul, but we've operated all over the country. But one of the things that was so wonderful about last night, the Berrios or the Barrios was, and the Bulldog were 200% before the game above their normal average. Afterwards, the joints were jamming. And that's what's really important is the acceptance of the neighborhood of having people in. I mean, there was a real buzz. And when I walked to work this morning, you know, the streets are teeming with people. Mears Park was full. So, I mean, it's having the effect that we hoped it would, you know, the ballpark spilling out into the street and the street spilling into the ballpark. So I just love that.
It's very neat. And obviously, you're involved. You still have the River Dogs, right?
Yes.
Have you? How many teams are you affiliated with now? Do you have nothing to do with the Stone Crabs, right?
No, I have a club in Bloomington Normal, the Corn Belters, and then we got a club outside St. Louis. Of course, the Saints. I'm president of the Charleston River Dogs, and then I don't know. There's one more might come online somewhere down there.
Oh, and I mentioned the Stone Crabs because when I saw it, I said, "Jesus, Mike affiliated with them?" Because this is a Mike Vec promotion. What the Charlotte Stone Crabs are doing, the Class A affiliate for the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah,
the A-Rod Juice Box Night, telling people to get juiced. See, it sounds like something you would do.
Somebody's been reading our mail.
That's what I mean. They're stealing from you because that's definitely it's got the Mike Vec touch to it. Now, Mike, with the Saints, I know you'll have promotions, but will a lot of this year will it be about the stadium, or is it's like nothing changed other than the stadium? You'll still have as many promotions, as much fun as you've had at the other ballpark. Will you let the ballpark sort of be a big part of the of the festivities?
Yes, the ballpark's going to figure prominently this year. And it obviously, as people get to know it, as we get to know how to operate it, the next 3 days are critical. We have 8,000 for each of the games coming up. And this by Sunday, we should have a pretty good idea of how to operate. But we'll still be over the top in terms of, promotional efforts and the like.
Where did you spend the game? Did you wander the entire field last night, or did you plant yourself in a few different spots?
Well, my cousin was in town, which is very so I sat five or six innings with him, but the first three innings I was moving through the crowd around the 360 concourse, just seeing where we had trouble, where we had bottlenecks, where we were a little slow serving. And, the problem here is that you're going to have to move every inning and a half because there's so many great spots to watch. Before, I always used to just like to sit in the last row.
Yep.
But on this one, the left field corner with the beer dabbler is one, and then left center as you're gazing back on the cityscape is a beautiful spot, too.
Now, are you going to try to get in for every weekend homestand?
Yes, I am going to.
Have you been able to do that in any season?
No, I have not, but I'm going to make it that's going to be a staple. I'm going to be in for every homestand except one.
So you'll actually be able to use that place you've had here for how many years?
Yes, that's right, for the last 7 or 8 years.
that's neat. Now, with the, you're still, are you in Charleston? Is that where you live the rest of the time, by the River Dogs?
Yes,
so
that's correct.
You're basically going to be splitting your time between the two of them, I guess, this season, right?
Yes, that's the plan, is to do it, although I'll probably be here more often.
Now, I got to ask, I've talked to Tom Whaley about this, and I know with your influence, you could get it done with a phone call. Frankie Valli is going to be at Grand Casino. Did you see Jersey Boys?
Yes, three times. Absolutely loved it.
And I've not seen the play. I saw the movie. I love the movie, the Clint Eastwood movie. He's going to be at Grand Casino at the end of August, and I told Tom, you've got to get Frankie Valli, not to sing the anthem, but just to get to the game and sing something.
Now, I think that's absolutely, there's no question about that. And I just took my daughter Rebecca to see him about 3 months ago, and now it's Frankie Valli in five seasons, but they were terrific, and he can still hit a few of the notes. So she just loved it.
It's amazing to me, Mike, a guy that's now in his, I think, early 80s, that he could still belt them out. His voice hasn't changed that much, has it?
No, and what I really love about it is everybody goes, oh, yeah, the Four Seasons, and then, of course, they get there, and there's not a song they do that they don't know.
He's phenomenal. I wanted to ask about Rebecca. How is she? Is she doing?
She's well, thank you. Behaving nicely and with the heart of a tiger, so she goes on. Thank you so much.
Yeah, because it's remember, and you don't mind telling people what had happened to her sight, because it's an inspiration. Quite honestly, I think to people who have children or family members who've dealt with that, because your daughter and your family has handled it as wonderfully as any family can.
Well, thank you. No, I don't mind at all.
And just one quick aside about when you told me about how you took her, she got to drive, you know, because you knew she was losing her sight. And that you would take her driving, and you know the things you did, they were wonderful, Mike. I'm not going to go off on a tangent about it, but it was very impressive how you gave her as much as you could while she still had some of her sight left.
Well, we got to see all the state parks, and you know everything from Pikes Peak to the Grand Canyon. There's just so many wonderful things to see. We're planning a trip to Alaska for next.
Oh, very nice.
For next fall, too. So that's the only one that we've missed. She reminds me constantly. That's one we've missed, Dan.
So you'll take care of it. That's great. Now, where's your son? Who's he working for these days?
He works for the White Sox.
Still does.
He's got some title I don't understand. It's something to do with social media, but he's still having a great time.
Well, when are you going to convince him?
I've been with him 4 or 5 years, so.
When's he going to take over and start working with you in the minor leagues? Because you do have an awful lot of fun running those teams.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I'd like to finish up is to work for my son in one of these minor league teams just for 1 year, and then I'll go off quietly.
Has he been to CHS yet?
No, he hasn't. But he did text me about 355 times last night. Asking about how it was going, and Libby was constantly sending him pictures. So
yeah,
I have a feeling we'll see him sooner rather than later.
Mike, what would you tell for people that are going to go there for the first time if they weren't there yesterday and they're going, what do you want them, you know, give them some highlights to look for, some of the things you really like about the park and some of the vantage points?
So they've actually got to do the 360 walk all the way around the park, look at the city from all the different vantage points. Come in from the front entrance for the first time. I think that's just magnificent. Come in on Broadway and know that there's plenty of tailgating back on the east entrance. We have 400 or 500 spots back there.
Wow.
Although with all the great fare offered in Lower Town, I noticed that fewer people were tailgating. And the last thing is they've got to walk under the concourse and see the dog park on the back end where you can watch the ball game free while walking your dog.
Very
and
neat.
And, of course, a lot of Andy Nelson's artwork is represented throughout the ballpark. So,
Mike, we're
getting there.
No, I'd say you're pretty close to being there. And the only thing it needs yet is that Frankie Valli appearance. And I know you'll get it done.
I'm on that as soon as we hang up.
All right. Okay. Not that Tom couldn't do it, but I know that you have, with your contacts, it'll get done. You'll make it easier for Tom because he's a busy man, too.
That's right. He is.
He's a hell of a guy, by the way. He told me the story about when he interviewed with you, and you talked music as much as you talked baseball, if not more about music.
Yeah, we did. And I knew instantly that Tom Whaley was the right guy to hire. And I look at this and say, you know, I'm sitting right across from Annie Heidekoper right now. We've all been at this 25 years together, and there's just something really warm about it.
It's neat, 'cause you're right. You have a lot of people that have been with you for a while. That's very neat. Mike, as always, I appreciate it. We look forward to talking to you again. And our affiliation, 105 The Ticket, is affiliation with the Saints. We're happy to have that, too.
Can't wait. I'll be calling the Don't Go Away boy right now.
All right. Hey, Mike, thanks again, and we look forward to it. Thanks so much. Have a great holiday
thanks
weekend.
So
all right, take care.
You too.
All right.
Take care.
All right. We're going to take a quick break when we return. Thanks again to Mike Vick, owner of the Saints. Do a little threesome, maybe a little D-bag of the day. We'll be right back.
The Saturday night game of the week, St. Paul's Saints baseball on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Charging hard, he leaves his feet and dives to make the catch.
Our broadcast start with Live from Lower Town with Ben Holson and Sean Aronson. We talk Saints, baseball, and more starting at 5 p.m. Then the Saints pregame show starts at 6:45 p.m., followed by play-by-play from Sean.
Drilled high, deep left field, well hit, way back, goodbye!
Every Saturday, Saints home game on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. The Bob Sansevier Show, only on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Three, oh, it's the magic number. Yeah. magic number.
We can't have anyone freak out out there, okay?
Somewhere in that ancient mystic trinity, you'll get three.
Bubbity.
The magic number.
Yeah, number three. Three's the number. Three. Three. Three.
Say it one more time for me.
Three's the number. Three. 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 Three's the number.
You need three of those?
Three. I need three. Three. Three of them. Give me three.
There you go. There's three.
Give me three. I feel like Dustin Hoffman. You know what movie I'm talking about?
Gotta go to Kmart.
Gotta go to Kmart. You
Wapner.
Do know.
Wapner.
You do know what I'm talking about. All right, let's get those three in.
Hey, Bob, I have three questions for you. Number one, White Sox broadcaster Ken Harrelson thinks Torrey Hunter belongs in the Hall of Fame. Do you agree?
I think he's got to do a few more things. I think he's a great guy, and he's a heck of a ball player. But I actually, you know what? I got to look at his numbers because when you bring him up, I don't really think Hall of Fame.
He's got about 340 home runs, more than certain guys. If he hits five more, I think he passes Ron Santo, who's a Hall of Famer. I looked at some of his numbers. His wins above replacement were pretty high, higher than Kirby Puckett and a few other Hall of Famers.
The 279 batting average may not help him.
Yeah, that doesn't help. It's just you got to look at the era. Was he one of the best center fielders of the era? Which, defensively
yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, here's
the
thing.
Golden Gloves.
You know what, though? Here's the thing that so many other guys will be disqualified because of steroid use, you know, from that era. Not that he'll, because some guys won't get votes. He could be helped somewhat like that, but I don't know. I mean, I have a vote, and I'm somewhat liberal because I think guys that belong should get in, you know, if they have good or numbers. when at first blush, and when you say Torrey Hunter Hall of Fame, I don't think of him as a Hall of Famer.
I think great player, but I don't necessarily think Hall of Fame.
He's had great longevity. You know, he started in 97, although he had like a game in then, but really his career started in 99. And he has had a good career. 651-989-9105, 651-989-9105. I'd like to hear from what people think. And actually, we're going to be talking to Mike Gelfand next. He covered the Twins a while ago, but I mean he's a huge baseball fan and follower. And also Dave St. Peter. I want to throw that at Dave and see what he thinks.
I think it's a decent question, just because most people would probably say probably not.
See, it's the type of thing where I don't think. When it's brought up, you could answer immediately. You really have to batten down on, and look at the numbers that he's had.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem with it. I just don't, when you bring it up, it just strikes me as, I don't know. I mean, when you think of guys like, and his career is young, but you think Trout, if he keeps going, he would be. I mean, Miggy, Miguel Cabrera. Guys like that had incredible, seasons. I mean, he's been certainly Torrey's been an all-star, but and he did
five
have
times.
Five
times.
But let's see, the best year he had for MVP voting, he was sixth in 2002 he had a nice year, 29 home runs, 94 ribbies, a very nice year, and a .289 batting average to go with 23 stolen bases. But I mean, he's never been like right there as an MVP candidate. His other ones are in the teens or the 20s. So, I honestly would have to really take a closer look at his numbers. But on first blush, when you say Torrey Hunter Hall of Fame or not, my thought is no.
I'd lean towards no. There's certain things, like he's been to the playoffs with eight different teams. Well, not eight different teams entirely.
Yes, times.
But eight times with eight teams.
But a lot of guys have.
Yeah. But not everybody makes it. For the longest time, there was only four teams getting in.
I'll tell you the one that I will grapple with is Maurer. Because as a catcher, some of the years he put up, you can't deny when he had, winning the batting titles, he had a great, career until he started getting injured. And as a catcher, I mean, when it comes time to look at his numbers and what he did, I think some people are going to have some trouble. I mean, if you said, if you were going to vote for one or the other, who would you vote for? I probably would say Maurer ahead of Torrey. And Maurer's career is not nearly done, even, as a first baseman. He could have a number of years left, and he could have a number of 300 seasons left, too.
Yeah.
And if he starts knocking down those, 100 or close to 100 ribby seasons, that's not going to hurt his cause at all.
And I think for a few years, quite a lot of people, quite a few people in baseball would have said he's the greatest hitting catcher we've ever seen.
Yes. Well, the batting titles back it up. That's, who's that?
I don't know.
Well, let's find out.
It's Lauren from St. Paul.
Put Lauren on. Lauren, how are you?
Good. You know, I wanted to thank you for, I won some tickets a while back.
Oh, great.
The Twins game. That was fabulous.
Good. What do you
think?
What do you, he's calling about Torrey, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's basically the Hall of Fame in general. It's really strange how they vote because, a lot of deserving people never get in. I'll tell you a guy that should be in is, Fred McGriff. You know, he has like almost 500 home runs, and, I was in Tampa all winter. And they were talking about it. And, you know, you get guys like Jim Cott. And it took, well, what really surprised me is why it took Burt Blyleven so long to get in.
Never should have.
But I think that Hunter could be looked at in a different manner than some of these other guys. I guess if it matters on how you go in the postseason, what some of these people do, he would probably have a pretty good chance there, and because of his defensive abilities, you know, and the things that a lot of people don't have in a box score, he's a Hall of Fame type player, definitely. But I guess if you go all strictly off numbers, what some of the younger people do today, he wouldn't qualify there, because you got Tony Oliva should be in the Hall of Fame because of his what he
absolutely
did at that era. That era was tougher to. I think do what he did, and then not have the medical facilities that they're and the abilities that they have up today. He probably would have, you know, went a lot longer that
absolutely
way. But I think the most deserving hitter and guy that should be in right now is Fred McGriff. If you take a look at his statistics, they're just unbelievable.
493 home runs. You're right. 1550.
How can a guy like that never was on steroids? I mean, he's got to be twice as. I think twice as deserving as a lot of these guys in that era. He kind of crossed over from the. Well, I guess you could say it was legal. It wasn't illegal to do steroids back in the 80s or whatever when they.
No, and that's where McGuire pays the price too, because they didn't have restrictions on it.
Right, and I think out of all these guys, McGriff as far as the hitters go, and I think Jim Cott. Should be the next guy. And if you take a look at numbers, Paul Molitor didn't have home run numbers like some of the infielders do, but his hitting and his what he did otherwise made a difference. So I think that he's similar to Paul Molitor in a lot of ways. Maybe not quite the batting average, but I think he hit more home runs. And I don't know what his stolen base total is. And I think he's got
He's got 194. Well, the difference is between Molitor had 3,000 hits. Torrey's got 2,367.
If you're in that 2,300 range, that in some cases that's Hall of Fame considered Hall of Fame material. So. It's just kind of, he's kind of a different type of player, and I think that people will look at him a little different than some of the others. But McGriff, in my opinion, is the guy that should be in, that should have been in on the first ballot.
Well, you know what? I appreciate, Lauren, thanks so much. We're actually up against the clock, and we got one of the three questions out.
Yep.
Thank you so much for that. And McGriff got hurt by 493 home runs, seven more. He probably would be in. That 500 is magical for a lot of the voters. Yep. I have voted for him in the past. I will say that. We don't have time for the next two, do we? All right.
Yeah, we go.
We're going to wrap it up because we don't want to cut into the time with Mike Stretch Gelfand. Well, you know, I want to ask Mike about this. We'll see what he thinks because he certainly has been covered baseball for a long time and knows the sport as well as anyone. We'll come right back with Mike Gelfand.
Sports Radio, 105 The Ticket.
That hopefully Mike does. Mike, you're good with Louie?
The Kingsman.
That sounds like you're okay with it then.
Absolutely. I'm still not sure what they're saying, but I prefer to believe it's quite obscene.
That's a good way to look at it. We're joined by Mike Gelfand. Now, Mike, in the last segment, we were talking about this. I don't want to get your thoughts on it. Mm-hmm. Hawk Harrelson, you know, Ken Hawk Harrelson, said that Torrey Hunter belongs in the Hall of Fame. When I first hear that, my initial reaction is no. Because the number, what do you think of something like that?
Here's my opinion of Hawk Harrelson. He gone. Not a big fan. I mean, besides being the worst homer in the history of announcers, and a guy who's been skating for, you know, a long, long time, I don't know. I'm sure he'll get some consideration. But, yeah, I don't know. You know, there's a lot of guys with comparable numbers not in there. So I'm guessing not. I'll say this much, and I heard your discussion. He'd probably get my vote before Joe Mauer. Well, I mean, I got nothing against Joe Mauer, you know. I mean, other than the fact that he avoids RBIs like most people avoid wood ticks. But you know what? You got to do something special once in your life to get into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And the most damning thing about Joe Mauer, it's almost considering his lifetime batting average and the batting titles, it's almost inconceivable that he could go a career without hitting 100 RBIs in any season. I mean, that's an achievement in and of itself. So I don't think so. Now, of course, another number which really actually works against him is that he had the 28 homers in 2009, his contract year. Never hit more than 13 any other year. That's not a plus.
No, you're right. It's definitely a strike against him.
Now, I will say this: he's on target now. I mean, he could reach the magic 90 mark this year in RBIs. So I got a feeling that maybe Paul Molitor found some way to tweak him a little bit. I'm not sure, but. You know, there might be something there.
Well, Mike, what do you think is the number for a first baseman who doesn't hit home runs? You've got to be at least at 100 ribbies or more to make it, to make it basically worthwhile of having a guy at a corner not getting you power.
Well, you know, and I think if he were to be considered for the Hall of Fame, I think people would be considering him as a catcher.
Yes,
because you know that's what I think he's best known for. I mean, we always talked about this in the morning show, and I argued almost from the first year that he should have been playing first base his whole career because he's just too valuable as a catcher, too valuable as a hitter to be crippled up playing catcher. But if you look at some of the catchers, I don't have a list in front of me, but think of some of the catchers who I'm pretty sure are in the Hall of Fame right now, you know, like Johnny Bench and Gary Carter, go back to Campanella, Barra, Bill Dickey would be one, Carlton Fisk. You know, I'm sorry, but without looking at them, I still can tell you with some assurance, Joe Mauer's numbers do not compare.
Not his power numbers.
There's just no one season that compares with some of the things any of those guys did in their best seasons.
Well, his MVP season would be the closest. But these are guys, many of the guys you mentioned, they were not single-digit home run guys.
Oh, no, not at all. And they all had, I mean, Johnny Bench had, didn't he have like 145 RBIs one year? And, you know, I think all those guys had 100 RBI seasons. So that's what's going to keep Joe more than anything from getting in. Consistency is fine, but then there are years when consistency sort of blends into mediocrity.
Mike, in 1970, oh my God, 45 home runs, 148 ribbies.
Yeah, that's a season, Johnny Bench.
293. He also had another season with 40 home runs, 125.
Yeah.
129. This was every other year from 70 through 74.
Yeah.
Those were the 33 home runs in 74. Yeah, he had a little bit.